8th, if everyone would stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and in the future as well. Amen.
We have a roll call.
Dwayne Chapman.
Here.
Dan Rabelais.
Here.
Here.
Scott Brown.
Here.
Brian Grove.
Here.
Shirley Rose.
Here.
Tim Salters.
Here.
Mary Yocum.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Got a motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Grove, to adopt the agenda as presented.
Call for question.
Dan Rabelais.
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman.
Yes.
Tracy Bruce.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Tim Salters.
Yes.
And the agenda is adopted by a vote of 7-0. Need approval of the minutes for March 25th.
Move we approve the minutes for the March 25th meeting.
Second.
Got a motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to approve the March 25th minutes as presented.
Dwayne Chapman.
Yes.
Dan Rabelais.
Yes.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Tim Salters.
Yes.
And they're approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I think that we should congratulate Fire Department Captain Jim Beeman for being named the Public Servant of the Year by the Knox County Chamber of Commerce. Certainly his outstanding work is to be commended. Also, tonight, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of several past public servants. First of all, former mayor and former police chief Alan Clark, Matt Minderman, who was a former school board member and a longtime youth sports volunteer, particularly for Cub League, and Haas Von Cannon, former justice of the peace, who served on multiple city boards and was a longtime community leader and philanthropist. All these gentlemen made a considerable difference in our community and were a better place due to their distinguished public service. Our thoughts are with their families.
Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Not committee chair.
Okay, I was going to say something, but.
Try it now.
Okay, now we're good. The Pantheon board met last week for the bids for the project, and it took a while to get the bids put together because they were trying to hit the $2.4 million mark, and the bids came in higher than that, so they had to do a lot of back and forth with contractors and with people involved in the project to get that down to the 2.4. Primarily, where they had to do some finagling, for a better choice of words, were on the upper floors. One of the big problems is the contractors are extremely stretched right now, and so the prices are going up. I think we're seeing that. We've seen that with a lot of other projects in the community, and it's just market forces coming into play on this. So that's where we're at. The project underway. I think everybody's been up front and transparent on the whole process, so I don't think there's been any surprises. Most people do know that the bids were coming in pretty high, so that's my report on that for tonight.
Okay, anyone else? Now we'll move on to report of city officers, and I have Mark Hill to introduce our German students, our guest.
Bill Coleman. We have our sister city students that are here from our sister city of Wasserburg. And so we welcome you to Vincennes. We have one other sister city that's Vincennes, France. And as most of the general public knows, we alternate visiting between our cities. So next year you'll have Vincennes students coming to your community, and next year we'll have Vincennes, France students coming here. So what we like to do each year is welcome you by making you official honorary citizens of the city of Vincennes. So as I mispronounce your name as you come forward, Svenja helped me learn some of the names, so we'll do the best I can. I have a little German in my family history. I'm also a Kramer, as in Frau Kramer is a Kramer, so that was my mother's maiden name. So I've not been to your beautiful city, but it's on my bucket list. Mayor, you've not been either. So the mayor and I are publicly committing that we will come to Wasserburg sometime in the very. So that being said, we'll call you up one at a time. What we'd like to do is present you the certificate, and then we have the city seal, which you see behind the mayor's chair there, which has the memorial, which is our National Historic Park that's on that. So, and then after we give you your certificates, if you could remain up here, then we'll take one big picture with all the students and their teachers, and then the council members will come in behind them for the big group picture. So we'll start with Svenja Bernstetter. Next, we have Samuel Blanc. Next, Monica Block. Anna Fleindel. Nobody's groaned yet. Eva Freis. Whoop, we got a whoop on that. Yeah. I guess whoop is the same in German as it is American, right? Daniela Geiger. Katharina Heppel. And I must apologize when I got the list. They put an R on your name rather than an L, so I will correct that. We'll have a corrected one. And Catherine Uber. Sarah Kloffel. Leonie Klim. Lots of girls. Yeshem Kurtulmus. See, I just assumed that was a guy's name. I'm sorry, Yeshem. It's nice to meet you. Tim Patzig. Hannah Reitel. Honda Single. Did I say that right? Good. Yeah, close enough. Huh? Roland Vogel. We have some Vogels here in Vincennes, so we should know that. And the final student is Franziska Weiss. And then we have two teachers with us. Carola, your first time here? Okay. We've had, for many of us here in Vincennes, we've had Matthias House, who actually became a personal friend of mine, come over the last several times, and Matthias's job has changed, I understand. So we miss Matthias, but we welcome our new teachers, Carola Shishi, close enough, right? and Harry Phillip. Round of applause for our German students. Yes, we're going to, so if the council can come, so if we can get your group together, maybe some can get down on their knees, maybe shorter ones in front, maybe even go down on your knees, maybe just like that would be great. Maybe you can be back on this side where we get you in. I'm going to point at the tall guys down there. Okay.
I'll slip in and pretend like I'm important.
You are.
I think I'll just look at the guy in the red shirt with the camera there. That'd be it. Put you in the middle. You guys tell us when you're done. Okay, I think we're done.
So, please have a seat. So, a couple of the students and one of the teacher will be appearing on the second half of the Mark and Mark show tomorrow. So, we encourage you to listen in or webcast us on Facebook tomorrow at 3:30. So, we'll be surprised to see who comes, right? So thank you very much, and special thanks to all the parents who are hosting and the students that are hosting as well. So thank you very much.
Okay, we will move on. We have no old business.
I just wanted to mention that if the students and the teachers are wanting to stay around, you're welcome to stay, but you're not obligated to stay for if you have other things this evening. So.
Okay, we'll go on to first up is Mayor's Youth Council campaign for My Town, My Pride. Hey, Savannah, can we get you to go to the mic? And you can turn that around if you'd like.
There you go. So the mayor wanted us to create a campaign to promote pride in our community and town. And so we decided to come up with a t-shirt, which I am wearing right here, and a design and a slogan to go with it. So we have the My Town, My Pride. So that's what we came up with, first slogan. Then we wanted to include the state of Indiana and then Mark Benson's on it. And so right now, we are in the process of selling them to like friends and family using order forms. And I have some here if anybody would like to buy them. They are $15 a piece unless you go to like extra, extra large and like triple XL, then it costs a few more dollars. But we buy them for about $9 and then we sell them for $15. And the profits are going to go to the Pet Port because of their recent building situation. And we're setting pretty good in our account funds, so all the profits are going to go to the Pet Port. And then our future plans for this is we want to set up a booth at Spring on Main and partner with the Pet Port and do an adoption fair or something of that sort to kind of bring awareness to their situation and also have a little fun with the animals. And that's about all.
And our goal is to just bring more pride to Vincennes, if everybody do their part with not only their own properties, but if you're out just walking, taking a walk, and you see trash, pick it up and dispose of it properly. So I commend the youth council for doing this, and I hope everybody gets on board, buys a t-shirt, and helps build pride.
And the deadline is on the order form, but if we could have orders back here at City Hall by April 17th, that would be awesome.
And then they will be selling these at Spring on Main, yeah. June?
It's June 6th.
6th.
I think, first Friday of June.
Yeah.
And then just so you know, those that are looking at your order forms, this is the Heather Sapphire, this is Azalea, and this is Heather Navy. So, just so you see the differences in colors. It does look gray, but it's officially
And you want money with the order forms?
Yes, please.
And you're encouraged to order them for all of your family members.
And I have change if you want to pay cash tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Savannah. Where'd she go? Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Next is Resolution 4, 2019 Urban Enterprise Zone Boundary Modification. Jonathan Favor.
Mr. Mayor, I move we read Resolution 4, 2019.
Second.
Got a motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravalette to read Resolution 4, 2019.
Resolution 4, 2019, resolution of the Vincennes Urban Enterprise Zone and request for application of boundary modification of the Urban Enterprise Zone, extending and changing the zone boundaries, which was passed by the Vincennes Urban Enterprise Zone on the 12th day of March 2019. And the exhibits show the new dimensions.
Discussion?
Is there any adverse or any effect to other taxing units on this?
I can answer any, I guess I can answer any questions. I'm not sure what the protocol is, but I'm here on behalf of the Urban Enterprise Zone. I've been a long time, I think, inaugural member. So no, the answer, the idea here is really twofold. And if you look at the differences between Exhibit B and Exhibit C, it's really just an expansion for two purposes. Number one is to potentially increase revenue. That revenue then increases projects that can be done in the zone. The second is to increase potential benefits to those who live in the zone. So if there are any consequences, hopefully they're positive consequences.
And I'll go on the record to say that watching the work that they do, it's a tremendous help to people that businesses in the zone. There's a great tax benefit to put your business in the zone, but also more importantly, anybody that lives and works in the zone or just lives in the zone gets a tax break, a state tax break. So there's a lot of positive with this. There's been a lot of amazing work done through the zone that's otherwise wouldn't have happened had this zone not been set up in the beginning. So.
No, it's definitely a true asset to the city, and you guys have been busy lately too. There's been a lot of good things that have been coming out of there, so big positive.
Any other discussion, or everybody's had a chance to look at the map to see the expansion? And okay.
Question. Scott Brown.
Yes.
Tracy Breeze.
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman.
Yes.
Shirley Rose. Tim Salters.
Yes.
Dan Ravalette.
As a UEA board member, and I served on the committee that formed this proposal, I also need to abstain.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
And that resolution passes by a vote of 5-0 with 2 abstentions. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's strong. Next is Resolution 5, 2019 Rehabilitation Program.
Move we read Resolution 5, 2019.
Second.
Who was that? Sure. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to read and approve Resolution 5, 2019. and I know it says Grady Jones, but it's Jenny Deerwester. Jenny Deerwester is with us tonight, so.
I was gonna say she don't look like Greg.
Waiting on me?
Yep.
Okay, kinda busy here. Resolution 5-2019, resolution of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, and hereafter referred to as the applicant, and a resolution to apply for a community development block grant. Discussion? Just for your information, we did this grant. This is probably the third time, like you said earlier, but this is the second time in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe that we did this owner-occupied grant, so. I'm gonna call for a question.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Tracy Bruce?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Dan Ravalea?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
And that resolution passes by a vote of 7-0.
Let me leave both of them with you.
Yep, this is, matter of fact. Okay. Oh, everybody's gonna sign, and you probably need to sign in blue ink.
Blue.
Okay. Okay. Okay, next is transfer of engineer's appropriation for $100. I can tell you this is because we forgot to appropriate the $100 for his longevity. So if we're in order for him to get paid that this year, we need to transfer money for, so that can be paid.
I move that we approve the transfer of the $100 in the engineer's budget.
Second.
Okay, got a motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to approve the transfer. Somebody call for the question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravalea?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Bruce?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, JP will get his $100 this year. Next is Councilman Tim Salters, Greg Park, Washington Avenue Street Crossing Discussion.
I put this on the agenda because I want to make sure that we're all kind of kept in the loop on some changes that's going to be happening with Greg Park. The VCSC and the city are going to be partnering. That's going to have Franklin pick up and drop off go through Greg Park. Our buses won't be going through there, but our parents will. And the reason is because we have a lot more numbers when it comes to Franklin School. You're looking about double of what we've seen before. Some of the things that I've had to talk to with Franklin parents and people in that area and a lot of people that do use the park, and this is something that we've had to address before where we try to improve safety and things like that. You have a lot of people that are curious on and concerned too, because people do kind of go through there at a high rate of speed. We've had some success with the first crosswalk. We had some success when we put the, I guess, the radar that just shot the light at you if you were going over the speed. The thing is that I wanted to bring it to a group because we probably need to make sure that we do address something or maybe a combination of things, but we also have to keep in mind that this change is going to be taken away in a year because we're going to completely redo that road, so it needs to be something that we can either move or continue to do when we do it again after the Washington Avenue remodel. After talking with Chief, we do have, you can buy some of those radars and have them plug into an outlet so they can stay there, and then during construction they can still be there, which would be beneficial. We could add numerous crosswalks or kind of paint an area that would kind of be a larger crosswalk area. But the key thing is that we have to remember, you're looking at probably 500 plus kids there. You're gonna have a lot more people that kind of stay after in the park, which is a great thing, but we're gonna have a lot more people, a lot more focus there, and it's something that we kind of just need to keep our eye on and try to start training. I wouldn't say training, but trying to curb that behavior into a certain way. And we do have a lot of different options that we could go with. I don't know if we do this as a committee form or we just kind of ask departments to kind of weigh in on that, because I know a lot of people have opinions on this. Talk with the street department, we could put things in the middle of the road. I know VU used to put slender, I guess, caution yellow things before they had the islands in between in their areas. We can do anything, but we have to remember when we do something that there is going to be a complete reconstruction of that area a year after that. So whatever we do, how do we incorporate that into the remodel of Washington Avenue?
Is that a Board of Works issue?
Yeah, and I've got JP here to explain why the crosswalks were set.
Part of it's a Park Board issue. You're using Greg Park.
And they've already...
We've already got approval from Greg Park to use that area. The key thing is...
So you're talking strictly Washington Avenue?
Yeah, just right in front of the area when it gets...
Good luck.
I know, it's definitely a little bit different.
And I've got JP, city engineer, here to explain why the crosswalk, where's that, and the future plans for Washington Avenue, not that one.
I'd be happy to look at whatever you're proposing. I'm kind of just now coming into the discussion on this. We do have the one crosswalk there, and that's as far east, I think, as we can go with crosswalks. In order to have a crosswalk, you have to be able to send and receive from a sidewalk. And when that one was there, actually, it wasn't even in compliance. We had to add a curb ramp at that location to get that one put in properly. So that one's in there. It's okay if we're wanting to add crosswalks. I'll be happy to look at it. I'm hesitant about anything in the road. There's some other issues we'd have to look at with that. But if you have ideas, run through my office. I'll be happy to give you my input and make sure we do it safely and properly.
Now, when we do the improvement, we'll have sidewalks on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. So, I mean,
yeah, once,
obviously, this is something that we've got to kind of, because it changes here in a year and a half when we have, you know, the reconstruction of Washington Avenue.
I'm at 2022 for that project to start.
Okay.
That's 3 years.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it'll all be.
The reason the crosswalk's worse at is because you have to go sidewalk to sidewalk. Mm-hmm. You can't go sidewalk to grass, and we have no sidewalks down through there right now, so.
Once
crossing guards, you know, the old school crossing guards, having actually somebody out there helping the kids get across the street.
From the VCSC standpoint, we have people that will be out there throughout the morning to be able to benefit that, because it's gonna be a little bit different until we learn that. It will be different. You'll see. I mean, it's gonna be a big portion of the city that's gonna be in that area during that day. I guess the greatest success that I saw, and I went through that road. I travel that road every single day, a couple times a day, and especially when I'm going back and forth from school stuff. When we did have that radar up, and I know we use it in different parts of the town to kind of keep people honest everywhere else, you did see people that really, when that light went off, they did respond to that, and you did see a lot of success with that, and I know Chief can kind of agree with that. So I don't know if that's something that we look at purchasing a couple more of those. And I would probably say that we'd probably put an additional in, so he doesn't have to use any of his budget, and we could put something kind of there permanently, because that's going to be a very highly trafficked area.
Would almost be beneficial, you know, not just in that area, but the school zones. I know a lot of areas, when you go through other towns, school zones, they'll have them mounted on the speed limit signs. It's a smaller version of the pull around that we have, and I wouldn't think those would be too expensive. I know it's a technology issue, but surely, you know, we could come up with some money to mount those on some speed limit signs there.
I had the same question as Mr. Brown. Is this supposed to go through the Board of Works?
Yeah, Board. I mean, Dustin can do the speed enforcement with his.
What I would say is that the two speed signs that we do have, they are more mobile devices, and that's the reason that we bought them that way. They're powered by batteries. Batteries last 4 to 5 days, and the idea behind those, and it works, whenever we get a certain area where we're having violations, or someone calls and says, hey, we've got a lot of speed in this area, we can go put them up there, kind of regulate the speed. Whenever we originally put those out, they did do a data download that would tell us information about how many cars were going through, how fast they were going, all that. We actually have not kept the subscription up on that because it is pretty costly. In the case, like Councilman Salters is talking about, that we spoke beforehand, it would be better served to have a permanent style speed sign if you were going to go with the speed signs, and Councilman Grove mentioning the ones in some of the other areas. I will tell you that they are fairly expensive. Because of the technology that's in them. It does depend on whether or not you want data return for those. They can they can give you a lot of information if you want that. And it's normally a service, an extra service, but if you're looking for simply the speed sign and you can set it for the speed limit and at a certain point do the bright light, there's ones that actually, and ours are capable of doing photographs. If you're, say, 25 over the speed limit, it can take a photograph. We don't use that for photograph enforcement, but there's a lot of bells and whistles that you can use with those devices, but they are pretty pricey, and they would be worth looking into. I know quite a bit about them because I did a lot of research on them whenever I bought the other two, and honestly, there are a lot of different companies that utilize those that are at the conferences normally whenever I go to the conferences. So, I mean, if at some point you guys make a decision that's something you want to do, I can surely get information from some of the companies but you may be surprised how expensive they are.
Well, I understand, and we're talking about that whole redevelopment.
Right.
But that is something that obviously...
It works.
It will
you
work.
Can,
it
you
works.
Can sit and watch the brake light. People and hit their brake lights as they approach them.
It will be able to be used even after the construction is done and after the kids are back in
right.
placement. It is our largest park, so
yeah.
You know, to slow people
I agree.
Down in that area is definitely
We did a lot of traffic enforcement in that area, and we did put the signs up in that area, and it was successful. You could literally, you can sit and watch the brake lights
yep.
being hit as people approach, and they it catches their eye, and they look down at the speedometer and realize, wow, I'm flying, or I'm going too fast.
And that's why I wanted to bring it to us, because I didn't want to have him have to go into his budget to get that. This would probably be something that we would need an additional for, so they would be able to purchase these things. Because when you do see those put all through town, you did have a lot of success with those, and you did see people start to follow the speed limit in those areas that we did have problems.
Sure.
And specifically, one of those was right there in front of the entrance to Gregg Park, where we have so many people. So, there's numerous solutions. I think that's one of the better ones. And that's why I wanted to bring it in front of you, so we can kind of just discuss this and go forward. And if we want to, have Chief bring us a couple of proposals of how many, how much different versions would cost, I think that might not be a bad idea.
I agree. They'll bring us some ideas.
Either one. I mean, I'm happy to do it from an enforcement perspective, but it is something that's utilized either in traffic flow, if we had ideas where they want to be put or with price. I mean, but I definitely do have contact with some companies that use it.
Would you pay for those? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I can tell you it's thousands, not hundreds.
I can report what the little signs that Vincennes University used for a while, I don't know if they still do, but I don't think those were effective. They tended to get broke very quickly, and they were costly to replace, but I really don't think they were effective, those little signs in the middle of the street.
Right.
So.
Okay. Chief, if you'll get prices on the...
Sure, and the speed signs are very hardy. He's talking about the small signs they used at Miller Road at BU, mm-hmm. but these, as far as these speed signs, they will, and I don't want to say this too loud, so I might try it out, but there's been some that have been shot by shotguns and different things like that, because it happens, and they're pretty good devices as far as durable and that kind of thing.
Chief, wouldn't you agree, though, like that light, though, it's kind of it's something that really catches your attention compared to you can get used to something that you see over time of just being stationary and sit there.
Any other discussion? If not, we'll move on to claims.
I move that we approve the claims totaling $420,309.40.
Got a motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to pay the claims in amount of $420,309.40.
Question.
Dwayne Chapman.
Yes.
Tracy Breeze.
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Okay, and by a vote of 7-0, the claims are paid. Does anyone have anything under miscellaneous? If not, we just need a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned.
Sorry, please.
You abstain.